The world leader in Internet Talk Radio.
Internet Talk Radio.
You're listening to America's Voice. VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
Hi there. Hey there, Waking Up in America. Here we are. We're doing it ourselves, and we're doing it all the time. A really good day to you. You're listening to a radio team that's actually started out on radio back in 1987, and somebody today asked me the question, why? And what we've always done with Waking Up in America is we've interviewed really fascinating people, and we've learned from them, and hopefully they've learned some things from us. And in a sense, it's been a classroom for both the people that visit our team and for the team itself and for our listeners. And I was thinking about how I conceived of this program in the first place, and it was back actually when I was in junior high school. And I was aware that there were just amazing teachers there, and there was no way that in a classroom, just sitting there, I could possibly know the interesting things about them that had them make the choices that they made and taken the gifts that they had in life. And I did my first interview with Miss Fisher, the sixth grade English teacher, and then I moved on to Barbara Vickers, the gym coach, and Miss Nolan, who did housekeeping. And the way I interviewed them was I asked them if they would go to the local soda fountain with me and that I would buy the drinks. And at that time, the local soda fountain had chocolate Cokes, Cokes with lime, and Cokes with cherry, and plain Coke, and it was made straight out of the soda fountain, and you could mix them all up and get a suicide Coke. And it was such a profound experience. And then I went after Sheila Allenbaugh, who looked like she and Queen of the Jungle. She was our algebra teacher, and she joined me in my little soiree at Walgreens. And I found myself just mesmerized with who these people were and what they were doing. And I thought, wouldn't it be a great idea to get together a group of people and do this kind of thing on the radio? I mean, surely these amazing people must be amazing to other people as well. So that's kind of how we got started back in 1987, and we had people like John Denver, who was on a regular. He would, whenever he was in town, he would come on the show and talk, and, you know, Dennis Weaver will be back. You know, we always have him circling around. There's this whole bunch of people that have been on Waking Up in America that are really extraordinary in many different facets of life. We've had people all the way from Victor Skobinskis. Is that, you know how to say it, Lisa? Victoria Skobinskis, the raw food guy?
That sounds right.
Yeah, I think that's it. We've had people all the way from him to Mark Spitz, Olympic champion, to Marianne Williamson, to some names you wouldn't recognize who are really hot dogs in the field of the environment and ecology. And basically, it's like as you walk through life and you meet these fabulous people, who are they and what do they do? And hopefully you're learning some stuff from them as we are. Now, we had Gail Casper. Lisa and I were smart enough to take a 55-minute break with Gail Casper and let her coach us. And Gail is really an amazing person. She's had an Emmy Award show on television. She's an in-demand personality. She's got a really nice way about her. And we've taken the best 25 minutes and 10 seconds of Gail, and you'll catch Lisa and I there. And if you want to comment on something after that, Lisa, I'll be happy to have you do that. And you'll take it away, Ruben.
Very, very good morning to America. This is Dr. Valerie Kirkgaard of Waking Up in America, and we have the privilege of doing a special report this morning. And the special report is on a woman named Gail Casper, and that's K-A-S-P-E-R. And we have Gail Casper right here in the studio with us. It's extremely exciting because Gail Casper is like if you had a dream and the dream came true, or you asked Santa Claus to show up and Santa Claus showed up and Santa Claus looked and did everything that Santa Claus was supposed to do, you'd be very thrilled. Gail Casper, welcome to Waking Up in America.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm fabulous, and I'm going to just read a little bit off your website here about how you're a motivational strategist and trainer, and then I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
Gail Casper is a high-energy motivational strategist whose mission is to inspire individual achievement. Gail's unique ability to understand and motivate people allows her to personalize her talk. Well,
you can almost hear that that's flat in a sense when you start to hear Gail talk and who she is and what she's about. From a young age, she actually wanted to be a broadcaster, and she created herself in that image, and she's a very beautiful woman. You can check her out by going to Gail, and that's G-A-I-L, Casper, K-A-S-P-E-R.com, and you can see who we're talking about here. And as I was reviewing her website this morning, which I kind of like to just take the hits, I was impressed that her website had today's date on it. That's a nice thing, because what it says to me, I look for symbols. My training is that of a therapist, and I like Jung, so I look for symbols. And one of the symbols that I saw was that she's on time. So I started jotting those things down, Gail.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Okay. Me and Jung, we're examining your site this morning. So she's on time, and she's up to date, because I went into her upcoming media interviews. Okay, and they have some from last month and then the future on it. So this is a woman who was on time. There's no 2003 thing. The website moves constantly. Then I started to look at her image. And I hope you're blushing by now, Gail.
I am.
I started to look at her image and I went, okay, Chanel would have loved this woman. For those of you who don't know, Coco Chanel died a few years back, and she's responsible for Chanel No. 5, but what she's also known for is being a simple and elegant woman, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Did you ever admire Coco?
I did.
Well, it shows.
Well, I appreciate that, and I don't know if I can truly say that I live up to that. I appreciate those words. Thank you so much.
Well, you're totally welcome. You know, you remind me a little bit in style, even though it's a different... It would be like if Audrey Hepburn had decided to be an executive.
Oh.
You have a little bit of that thinness and that elegance and that simplicity to yourself that she had.
Well,
and then when you put something really beautiful on you, you guys really show it off.
Oh, I am blushing. It's keeping me right.
Well, I really think we all need to be seen, Gail. And I really think that I'm seeing what you've been doing. And I'm moved by it.
Thank you.
So we'll have to see if we can get a sponsor for Gail at Tiffany's.
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Oh, and see, Audrey would smile. I don't know if you saw one of her last movies or not. I forget the title of it. But it had to do with the man that was a forest fighter. I think Richard Dreyfuss played the role.
I saw it.
Pardon?
I don't think I did see
it. Yeah, well, he dies, and there's this whole cute story about how he's making sure that his girlfriend gets the right...
I did see that. Always.
Yes, always, right.
Always.
That's it.
Spencer was in it. Richard Dreyfuss was in it.
So was Audrey Hepburn. Remember her dressed in white?
Yes.
At the foot of that tree?
He was the angel.
Yes.
Cutting his hair.
Yes. Yes. And that was the last time I saw her in a movie. Was in Always.
Yeah.
But I was a great fan of hers. So I'm passing the torch from Audrey to you, and I think it's good. And when I looked at you, I said, oh, my God, if Audrey Hepburn was an executive, she would look like Gail.
Wow.
So that's good.
Oh, huge.
Yeah.
To live up to that is amazing.
No, live into.
Yeah.
It's a different than up to.
Yeah.
Because that would be a perfection for you, wouldn't it?
I think we all bring that element of perfection depending on who we are and what our strengths are.
Exactly. And each perfection would be different.
Something different, you know, and I would never be her, but...
But you would be the best you could be, and you would be of her family.
And that would be a wonderful thing.
Yeah, because what I'm looking at, and I don't know if you've seen this or not, Gail, when you look around and you meet people, and I'm sure you've met a lot of people over the years, at a certain point, you look at them and you go, isn't that interesting? They seem to fall into different kinds of groups. You know, like one is the silent friend type.
Right.
And somebody else is the one that's all exuberant and excited about something.
Mm-hmm.
They just tend to do that. And if you've noticed, you have, like, different categories of people around you. And when we talk to those people, every one of them, in a way, has a different image they're working towards.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see you, but we were talking before the show, Gail and I was telling her, it wasn't about broadcasting because, Gail, when I was little, they were just beginning to show test patterns on television.
Oh, wow.
We would sit there and watch the Indian head.
Oh, my.
For half an hour. Nothing would happen.
We'd just sit in front of the screen and go, wow.
Oh, my.
And it'd be this little Indian head. And then after that, I think we got Howdy Doody. So there wasn't a whole lot to look at. I did not want to grow up to be a ventriloquist puppet. I'm clear about that. So I didn't have that same kind of modeling you had, but I had, I'll tell you who I really appreciated in my life. I'll give 50 points to Esther Williams.
Oh, you're kidding. Wow.
Esther Williams offered my age group a woman that thought that she could talk to men,
mm-hmm.
that she was that they were equal with,
mm-hmm.
that did extraordinary things and had a lot of courage and was extremely attractive, you know, and was good to people.
Oh, what a great combination.
Yeah. I actually interviewed Esther on the radio back in the 80s when we were doing this particular program out of K-Fox in Redondo Beach. What an extraordinary human being.
That's great.
Even at that time, she was working. She had just finished working with the Olympics. Now she's 80-something.
That's amazing.
So there's a person that naturally did the things that you help people get access to. And you wrote a book called, you have a plan called Make a Decision to Win?
Yeah, it's an audio CD program, yes.
And is there printed material and such that comes along with that, or how does that
work? There's a workbook that comes with it. So it has the workbook and then the audio CDs.
Now, one of the things that you said, Lisa Molson, are you here?
I am.
Oh, good. Now we're about ready to have some fun. So, not that we're not already, Gail. Let me just ask a couple more questions before we step into this. Your background was this, that you wanted to be a broadcaster, right?
That's what I wanted when I started in college, but it didn't end up coming about that way. I ended up dropping out of college after 2 years. I later continued after I started in a company who told me that, Gail, if you want to move forward in this company, you've got to finish school and get your degree, which I did. That led me into management, which led me into being not such a great manager. And in the midst of learning about leadership and people and helping them to grow and fine-tuning my management and leadership skills, I saw people achieve such great things that I wanted to continue with the idea of speaking and training, so I moved on to a few different training organizations, and that's when I came across the television show America's TV Job Network, and I did end up hosting on that television show, but it was more or less a surprise in my life. It wasn't something that was planned.
Right, right.
So I saw the opportunity in front of me, and they were looking for someone that had experience to be on the show, and I pretty much just sat on their doorstep until I finally got hired.
Oh, that's great. So you needed some persistence in the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now,
yeah.
If I was to ask your mother what kind of a kid you were, what would she say?
When I was young, I was quiet. That isn't hard to believe.
Yeah.
But then as I got older, I mean, I got involved in school, and I was president of the student government and captain of the basketball team and an achiever in high school, and then I did receive a full four-year academic scholarship. But
did you get straight A's?
I not through grade school. As soon as I understood in high school that I was capable of getting straight A's, then from that point forward.
What do you think was the turning point in that?
Hmm.
How did you go from average to extraordinary in a thought? What was the thought?
Well, I think what happens is you accidentally do well. And then people are like, wow, look at this. You know, you got honors and you did so great. And all of a sudden you think, well, geez, I can do it. You know, I've always been a good student in that I've studied and worked hard.
You've had the diligence. And
yes, and I had the self-discipline. And once I did it once, it really did not stop from there. When I started in high school and I did well, I continued to do well, continued to get honors. I was the first student in my school to graduate with calculus. I was in my sister's math class, which she was a year older than me. So things just, once I understood the fact that, geez, I'm smart. You know, I can do well. Once I understood that, it was just a constant moving process.
So you understood that, and I'm suggesting that perhaps a lot don't. One of the things that I ask Gail, dear listeners, is before the show, we were talking about if we had 1 hour in which we could change the world, of course, what we'd have to do is we'd have to change something we were doing and thinking to change the world. I would think that would be about what you could do in an hour, right, Gail?
Probably.
Probably. So we wanted to take a look at what we could be thinking, what we could be doing that we could change the world. Now, Gail's skills are leadership training, selling things, and time management. And so I invited Lisa Molson, who's on my radio team with me, and Lisa Molson does a segment called Family Matters, and Lisa is an extraordinary woman, Gail. She's the mother of six. Some of them are blended children. She's a Yurok Indian. Her mom was chairwoman of the tribe. She's married to a man whose family were chair people. Mm-hmm. She works with the casinos, helping them set up their cash systems. Is that correct, Lise? Setting up their financial, better word. Looking for that, something like that. And she helps them set them up. And what we call Lisa the heart on our radio team, because she's a tall heart, too. She's almost 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
She's very attractive, and she's full of it. She's got a wild sense of humor, and she's all about bringing heart to things. So Lisa and I are signing up for your leadership course today, Gail.
Oh.
And we thought maybe in the next 20 minutes or so that you could do something that would actually make us more. How would you work with us? And Lisa, say hi.
Hi, Gail.
Hello, how are you?
It's great to meet you, and I'm excited to hear what you bring to the table as it relates to the subject.
Great. Oh, great. Thank you so much. And in terms of working with both of you, I think I'd want to know what your goals are with leadership. You know, where do you see your challenges? Where do you see your strengths? What's working, what's not?
You want me to go first, Lisa, or do you want to?
It doesn't matter.
Go for it.
Okay, I'll go. what my goals are, and I've just been starting to work on this because I've been doing financial services since 1991. And I picked it because it's residual business. And I learned early on that, you know, if I'm going to do anything worthwhile, do it where there's residual. I'm not constantly looking for something new, a new sale. So mine was stability financially in my family. But also on the backside of that, now, and it evolved. One of the things that I know is that I was always afraid to make a goal because I always thought that if I did that, when I committed to that, I could never change it. Which I realize is not the case anymore. So it went from feeding my family to now the goal is financial freedom so that I can do more philanthropy and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my goal is to become a, you know, multimillionaire so that I have financial freedom.
Wow.
That's very pretty. Well, I've always had delusions of billionaireism. I grew up in Santa Paula, California, Gail, where the highest paid person was an oil driller, rigger.
Oh.
And they made $25 a day.
Oh, my.
And that was the world in which I grew up in. So my first goal was to make $25 a day. Ha, ha, ha. Well, that happened pretty fast, you know. I actually was quite entrepreneurial in junior high school and grammar school.
Mm-hmm.
And I had little concessions. I sold used pencils and things like that. And I had more money than anybody on the block. And I remember lying under an oak tree and saying, my great-grandfather had been a shipbuilder in England, and he built ships for the crown. And we were the fifth wealthiest family in England, according to legend. Okay? According to reality, my current reality, there was the $25 a day. There was Daddy selling vacuum cleaners and Mom getting upset when he had a bad week. So that was where I was coming from. But I said that I would end up recreating my family's wealth, which was actually a goal that could expand. Like I didn't have, at one time it was $25 a day would be, you know, what I'm saying as I went along. So that was my goal, to recreate my family's wealth, but then I found out I didn't like my family.
Huh?
And then I thought that I needed, then I created that I had to learn how to use power well, because they had used it in war.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want wealth from a war point of view. Well, that was tough because all of my training was about, like, how to survive, how to be better than other people, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what you had to do. You had to climb the corporate ladder and you had to use somebody else. That was usually, that was the model in those days. That was how it supposedly happened. So then you get into the conflict of wealth and stuff. All this time, I'm like, feel like I'm going around with a blindfold on. trying to find out what leadership is. And I really am grateful to Landmark Education, because so much of who I am as a leader today, and I'm right now I'm a medium leader, right? I'm not the greatest.
Obviously, with the radio show that you have, you know, there's an element of leadership in that, because the world hears you, hears your thoughts, your opinions, your input. But in terms of being an effective leader, what qualities do you feel that you bring to the table?
Well, I think that I see things. I see people. I think I'm compassionate. I think I work out of the model that we can create solutions, and that the solution is a natural evolution of people communicating. I live out of the model that we work out of, earlier we were talking about symbols. I work out of symbols and I work out of energy. What I do is I see if I like who I've been in a particular situation. I've actually brought together my family, which is very badly shattered when I left home, so I consider myself a leader in my family. But I'm almost a leader right now of a leader who's gotten things to come together, but I'm not into that excellence yet.
What do you mean?
I want that sense of that I can manage equal groups of people and situations with that really fine quality of spirit being my language. That's my goal.
And give me an example. When you say you want that sense that you can manage equal groups of individuals.
Okay, so let's say that I'm talking to my family, and then I talk to my radio team differently than I might talk to my family, right? I may have more compassion for my radio team or whatever. That when I talk to my family sometimes, there's like irritation or past in my language.
Sure.
And with my radio team, it's probably not there. So I'd like to be able to talk to my family with the same openness and completeness and generosity that I like to talk to the team. I notice that I'm a chicken leader. Like there are opportunities that I could take that I hesitate to take and sometimes forget about entirely. And yet I know they're there, and I know that I would have accelerated things faster if I'd been involved. It doesn't mean that all of those invitations would have been yes.
Right.
But it means they would have been in the past, and some of them would have been yes.
Okay.
You know, so I'm like the hesitant leader.
Well, who else is, I guess, who's your leadership team where you are in the decisions that you have to make, or are you your leadership team?
Well, we do, it's some of both, because we have a team call every Wednesday morning.
Okay.
And we talk about who it is that we're up to and what we're doing, and when it comes to, like, acquiring a new radio station or something of that nature, I'm very good at negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing I pretty much do myself. But if somebody else brought in another radio station or something, that's not a problem.
Okay.
It's just like we need to take ourselves to a new level, and for we to do that, I have to do that.
And yet you mentioned that there are situations where, you know, you're given it or presented with an opportunity, but you may hesitate on it. Or
exactly. Exactly.
Why you ask, who is your leadership team? That's what I want to know.
I consider you guys the leadership team, the team.
No, I was asking Gail. What do you mean by leadership team, Gail?
I mean almost like a management team. Almost like a management team that would be making the decisions.
Well, for instance, Lauren Miner, who is not able to be on this call this morning, he is definitely part of the leadership team. Pete, who's in the background of this call, he's definitely part of the leadership team. The people on our team, Gail, they're all stockholders in Kirkard Media Group. So
my question to you, Valerie, too, is when you are presented with these opportunities and you have to make a decision on them, yes, no, maybe, and some of them may go on hold, do you bring all of those opportunities to your leadership team?
No, I do not.
Okay, so that's
sometimes right. I do, but not like a completion. I'll say that I talk to them and that I'll follow through on it, and then I may not.
When you have your leadership meetings with your team, do you create an agenda?
At board meetings and not on team calls.
Team calls, start to do that.
That's good.
I mean, you want to be in a position that even if it's a letter that you've gotten in the mail and it's a possible opportunity, instead of putting it in the stack, put it on the agenda.
This is good. I can throw that down.
When you have your leadership calls or your team calls, do you set a time limit for them? How long are they? Tell me a little bit about
that. Yeah, their calls run from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. on Wednesday mornings.
All right, so you have and could have a lot of agenda items to cover from 7 to 8, which means that any of these types of opportunities, you're going to need to move quickly through them. It's going to have to be, let's discuss it. What do you think? If we need to reconvene about this in a week, then we will. Everybody think on it next week. We'll bring it up again. Or, you know, Lauren, I want to talk to you separately about it or whatever.
No, what you're saying is perfect because there have been times when that's been present, but it hasn't been. If I was to want the thing that I've heard the most from you, it's the discipline. To you telling me to do this, I will do this.
The thing is, it will change your world.
I totally get it that will change the world.
Because your people now that are working with you are going to help you be strong about a decision that you want to make, or they're going to say, no, we don't want to do that, in which case you're going to feel good about axing it.
Well, they usually want to do it, okay, but what drops out for me and where I have not being as responsible is by creating the agenda, then we create the follow-up. And what I've been lacking in or partially limited in is follow-up.
Okay.
Okay, so that would be powerful there. And then Lisa and I, you know, we're on the same team and we'll talk about other things. Liz, you want to hop in here on anything?
Well, as it relates to the team, I think, if we're going to talk about the radio show, it would be more like for me, you know, because I'm sitting as one of the team members, is having clarity of the goal. It always seems to be really the simple things we make it so complicated. And when you just asked me the question, I wrote down what my real goal is. Because sometimes it changes, and then I don't even know that my goal changed because I'm so busy, you know, getting new information and things happen and you get a new perspective, and then all of a sudden you thought, well, maybe I won't do that or whatever, and then all of a sudden my goal starts to change. And that's what I realize right now is that asking and trying to get clarity for me, that's probably one of the things that I've, as a team member, I haven't been real clear on is what our goal is, what's the end result, what are the steps we're going to take, that kind of thing.
This is great. And when I'm taking Gail, do me a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me to make sure that I follow up on the agenda.
Okay.
Because then I can say Gail told me to do it, and of course then I can remember it, and it's not just me.
Well, one of the cool things about an agenda is that after you put it on your computer, you bring it the same agenda up next week that you just brought up from last week, and you modify that same agenda. So all you do is you do a save as to a different date. So any of those agenda items that were on last week are still in front of you, and you can say, well, we did this, cross that off, get rid of it, but, oh, we didn't finish our discussion on this one.
Yeah.
You add to it. So it never goes away. It's never a brand new agenda. Your agenda is changing from week to week so that you're always moving toward that end goal. And maybe your first team meeting with your leadership team is a discussion of where are we going to be a year from now? Where are we going to be 3 years from now? What's the ultimate goal for us? Because once we know that and we have the team together, we can set up little landmarks for ourselves as we move forward.
That's good.
It's your little strategic plan that you have in place. You know, what are our strengths? What are our challenges? How is our world changing on a, you know, constant basis? And what do we even need to have in place to get to the next place?
Gail Casper, what a privilege. Lisa Molson, it's been wonderful to have you. This is Dr. Val saying this has been a special report, and we hope you like it. Yeah. You have found myself wanting to talk to her during the replay. I'm so into what she's saying, and it's so interesting because I actually used, well, I think we did this report last Tuesday or Thursday, and I actually used this particular agenda on the team meeting for the first time today, and I have it set up so that I can actually put it out week after week like she talked about, and what it does is it actually creates structure. And Lisa, I was wondering what you thought or felt as you listened to Gail in replay.
Well, I liked what she said about team, and it makes me go back because I have my own business, and sometimes I don't use my team as well as I should in including them in decision-making, and especially the big decisions, the big rock decisions that you have to make. Sometimes I feel like I'm on my all alone, and I forget that I have a, you know, vice president and COO and all that. So, and I think a lot of us have a lot of people that we do have in our surroundings that we're so used to doing it on our own that we never take advantage of those people.
You know, it's so funny you're talking because I was thinking, every week we have a fabulous guest, and then I get overwhelmed almost because there's so many things to do, right? I thought if I could just take one thing from each guest each week, right,
mm-hmm.
and put it in.
Right.
Agenda is structure.
Right.
It's so interesting, and it was like I heard her, and I was able to do it. And I want to make sure that all of our guests are really extraordinary. Well, they all are extraordinary. You should see who's coming on in the future. We've got we've actually got Guy Finley coming on, and we've got a call in to Michelle, who's one of the most amazing afterlife therapists in the country. I mean, it's like the people that we bump into that create interesting conversations, because life is just a conversation. They have that thing at Landmark, you remember, about pushing the envelope? Remember that?
What was that again?
We talk about how we push the envelope. So every week on Waking Up America, we push the envelope in a different
right.
area. We push
yeah.
it in the area of health or
right.
agenda or whatever. But
right.
it's all about being bigger, you know?
Right.
Bigger and more ourselves.
Yep.
Do you remember?
That's why we're called Waking Up in America. It's waking up a different area of our consciousness.
June Allison, many years ago in an interview, was asked whether or not she felt that stardom made people big jerks, basically. And she said that she felt that stardom, and you could quote the thing money in here too, actually made people more of who they were. And I really think that to be a star in your own life, it doesn't matter if you're on the radio. What if you're a star in your own family? And that would be that you're the leader in that family. That would mean that you're the leader in your business. You can be the star in your business. And all these different conversations we're having are with people that have achieved stardom of some sort in some aspect of their life. So that's what I personally am hoping for listeners. And since the radio stations are playing us more and we're getting to be on 5 days a week in Pittsburgh, you'll be able to hear us. I think it's going to be 3:00 in the afternoon by the end of June, you guys. I just want to thank you. Our numbers are going up, and I appreciate it. And Lisa, did you want, let me put it this way, George Urchesky, who's a true on so many levels, I'm not sure what your segment is called today, George. George actually needs to be on, and then I wanted you to follow him. Is that okay?
Yep, that's fine.
Cool. So, Mr. Urchesky, I know you have to be on the road and kicking butt.
I do. And today we're going to talk about living leadership. I was reflecting on how so frequently what we talk about are what other leaders are doing, providing inspiration, but we're looking almost at finished products, and there's this sense of, well, there's no way that I could get there, and anybody who's really a true leader is already successful. Well, I consider myself a true leader, and with the professional charge that I got out of authoring the book, doing the project of interviewing 27 CEOs and presidents around the country, the promotion of the book, doing presentations every place, and getting involved with radio. I'm now involved in 3 different radio programs, Waking Up in America, the Leadership Adventure, which is in Buffalo, New York, and then I'm also doing a local radio station in Dallas, Texas, around Christian faith. So I'm involved in all of these things, and I'm getting such a professional charge out of it. And 2 months ago, my wife told me that she was thinking of leaving me. Well, that's not something that we talk about in public.
No.
You see, that's a private angst, and we're supposed to be celebrating our 30th anniversary on July 11th. And the reason that she told me she was considering leaving is that a colleague of mine invited me to attend a workshop that she was facilitating, and I thought I was going there as an observer. The first night that I'm there, everyone's chiming in for why they're there, and it turns out that this is a broken relationship healing workshop, and virtually everybody who's there has gone through a divorce. And I'm sitting there saying, well, I'm just here as an observer. I don't really need this stuff. But I had gone in at the last moment, and it included a Friday night session and an all-day Saturday. So I called my wife on my way home that night, and I said, is it okay if I go tomorrow night and all-day Saturday? She said, what's the topic? I said, broken relationships. She said, good, I'll talk with you when you get home. I walked in the door, and she looked at me, and she said, I've been considering leaving you. But if you want to go to this workshop on relationships and maybe learn something that could help us, then go for it. She had been waiting for a good time to tell me. And I realized then that you have to be a leader in all aspects of your life. It's not just in business. It's not just in profession. It's not just in community organizations. It's not just in those roles that we play out there in the world. But it's also the most important roles that we fulfill, being a spouse, being a dad. And I was not fulfilling those roles. But Bobby's willingness to say something invited me to take action. So I called a fellow that I respect at church, and I said, I'm looking for a counselor, but I'd really like a Christian counselor. Even better, I'd like a Catholic counselor. And there was a woman that had moved into Dallas from San Antonio only about 2 months ago. So she was establishing her practice. The first person that I called said, I can get you in 3 months. The second person that I called said, I can get you in 2 months. The third person that I called said, I can get you in 2 weeks. So I went with the one who was most available, and she's the one who'd moved in from San Antonio. My wife and I have been going to the counselor every other Wednesday. It's a one-hour conversation. We're discovering things about each other, even though we've been married for almost 30 years. And about 3 weeks ago, my wife said, you know, we do say grace before every meal, but other than that, we do not pray together. And the counselor looked at me and said, well, George, are you going to pray with your wife each day? I said, yeah, I'd be willing to do that. She said, okay, when? Well, Bobby is up and gone by 7 o'clock every morning. By 7 o'clock most mornings, I'm still getting ready to do something that day. So I made the commitment that we would pray together in the garden at daybreak. And I've been fulfilling that commitment. And every day when we pray together, there have been interesting things that she has said, that I have said, that there's something new getting created out of this prayerful approach to using each day to create something that makes a difference in life. And I believe that that's why I'm on radio. It's what I believe true leadership is about doing things and sharing things in a way to make a positive difference in other people's lives so that other folks will take a step, will be reflective, will open themselves to a new possibility, because it is only through that openness that we can grow and progress.
Oh, George, thank you.
So living leadership, each week, I'm not going to report to you all of the details, but I'll give you the essence of what this living leader is working on this week.
Oh, that's great. And check out our website at heavenincorporated.com, and you'll find George's picture there. You can email him. You can get further information from him. You can call us at toll-free 866-RADIO-99 and say, hot dog, George, tell me more about that. And very soon can...
And Val, there's one other quick way that they can connect with me.
Go for it. You have
toll free, it's 877-321-4TLC. 877-321-4852.
How did you ever get that TLC part?
Hey, I went looking for it, Val.
That's very, very, very good. Well done, George. Well
Thank
done.
You. And I will look forward to next week's show.
Great. And I can hear Cherie Ross. I can hear her little bag full of essential oil bottles kind of just tapping on each other, tap, tap, tap. And whatever question you want to ask her, I'm personally, you know, if it throws you off, tell me you'll talk about it next week. But if it doesn't, I'd love to hear about how you take care of mold in the bathroom.
Oh, mold in the bathroom?
Is that a topic for this week or next week?
Piece of cake. I can do it very quick, and
okay,
then I
good.
Can go into what I was going to do. How about mold everywhere, not just the bathroom?
Oh, God. Okay. I can't stand that.
And what works, the wonderful thing about what I work with are these essential oils are at the therapeutic grade. They're not something you can buy at a health food store. Those you cannot take internally. These you can. So these are the highest quality oils that you can get for therapeutic or medicinal uses. And so let's go to it. There's an oil blend that I like to work with called Melrose, and there's another blend called Thieves, as in stealing, like thief.
Mm-hmm.
And the Melrose oil is a blend of Melaleucas and rosemary and clove, and Melaleucas is affectionately known as tea tree for the common name. And what you do is you can diffuse it in the air. You just put it in a little diffuser, and which is a little atomizer that pushes with air, like an air pump, pushes the oil out through a wonderful little orifice. And you just shut the door in whatever room you're working on, and you just let the Melrose go to work. And it's like the it's like the Terminator for mold and mildew for fungus. It is. It's like the Terminator. There's nothing left. And then if it's real bad, you can also clean with a cleaner that's 100% organic, very safe, non-toxic. You could eat the stuff. It wouldn't taste good.
You sell it?
Build your immune system. It's called Thieves Cleaner.
Really?
Yeah. And all you do is you diffuse the Melrose in the room, and then you use Thieves Cleaner, and you just scrub. And it's astonishing how fast it goes away. What's interesting about the oils when you diffuse them is they will penetrate through sheetrock. So that if you do have mold in the walls, it will get rid of it. If you have mold in the ceiling, it will get rid of it. If you have mold in the floor, it will get rid of it. It is phenomenal. And mold does not penetrate through concrete, and it does not penetrate through, like, ceramic tile, so you don't need to worry about that. But if you have other things going on your floor, perhaps it may, like wood or so forth. So, but the essential oils do penetrate, and it does not ruin or damage any finish at all.
Hmm.
And it's very, very safe for humans, for animals, for cats, for birds, what have you. It's very safe, and you can completely get rid of it. So it's easy, and it's extremely effective.
Cool,
and
thank
very
you.
Cost effective as well. You can probably get the whole job done for easily under $40.
Get out.
Yep, no problem.
So
and have stuff left over to spare. So, okay, so there's our practical day-to-day usage, and I have another practical tip. I have a wonderful dog. She's 14 and a half, pushing 15, and occasionally she eats things she shouldn't, and then she gets very bad diarrhea. Well, I gave her a capsule of clove essential oil. Just fill up an empty capsule, gave it to her, and the diarrhea stopped within 1 hour. And she'd had it for 3 days. That's how I knew it was something serious, because it wasn't just a one-time thing where she ate it, had diarrhea, it passed, and it was gone. It was continuing. And so, and it's very difficult when you have a dog that's an indoor dog that has diarrhea. And so clove oil, and it works for people too. You just put it in a capsule, take it orally. That's why it's important you use therapeutic oils, because you need to be able to take them internally safely with no adverse side effects. Clove oil is very, very powerful for helping stop diarrhea. And it, again, we're looking at around $12 a bottle for 250 drops. I maybe use 10 drops for her. So we're not talking a lot of money here, and it's a phenomenal result. Okay, clove oil also, by the way, if you want to deal with allergies, clove oil is absolutely outstanding to help get rid of any pet allergies. Say that you have pets and you have friends coming over, what you can do is diffuse clove oil about 1 hour prior to their arriving, and then when they get there, they will have absolutely no tearing or puffiness or any response at all that's negative to your pets. So it's pretty fun that way, too. Okay, now, let's go into the next realm. So we've handled the house, we've handled the inside of the body, we've handled the outside of the body. Let's go to the spirit. Right now, with what has happened... Pardon me?
Always good. Always yes. Thank you.
Right now, with what is happening, for those of you who study astronomy, not just astrology, but astronomy, and people in science know that the placement of the planets and the stars definitely affect our emotions. It has the ability to move the oceans. Well, the ocean's water, we're water. And it has the ability to affect us deeply. And right now, with some changes that are actually gearing up, this week is a very intense week. Tomorrow it's going to apex, and things are going to, like, the proverbial S-H-I-T, and so, and it's building, the pressure is building. And what is common is your energy will dissipate, and you will be frazzled. Small things will set you off. You'll find yourself more irritated. You'll find yourself literally feeling like you're falling apart, and what the hell, life is not worth it. I mean, it could go into extremes. There's an oil I'm going to encourage you to consider using, and that is called gathering oil. It is an oil that is sourced, the actual recipe is sourced in very ancient historical texts, which are now in a library in Jordan, in the museum, in the base of the museum. They're sealed away. And they were scrolls that were found in a cave outside of Petra. And in this cave were found 5 liters, very large, five liter bottles of essential oils that were sealed, a small carrying bottle of oil for oils, and then some scrolls that were sealed also in large jars. In these scrolls were formulas or recipes, if you will, for using essential oils for physical, emotional, and spiritual practices.
Hmm.
This gathering comes from one of the formulas in those scrolls. The gathering oil has in it galbanum. Galbanum is a powerful, powerful oil designed to work with the part of us that affects us deeply but that we necessarily can't see. It's not like we can look at a hand and see, there's my hand. But this part of us affects us deeply. So if you'd like to learn more about gathering oil and how to pull yourself together and keep yourself together during this intense time of transition, give us a call at toll-free 866-RADIO-99. Or Heaven Incorporated, all spelled out. Or you can visit my website at young-living.net.
And
this is Sherry, and I encourage you to prove me right.
I totally love what you're up to. No kidding. I wish we had more time to talk about what she does, because what she does is majorly different. She did a treatment for me this morning that was outstanding. Who we have next in line here, and we've got to make room for the diva as well, is Lisa Molson of Family Matters. And Lisa has 6 children. She's a Yurok Indian, so she's got all the bases covered for unusual positions to have to create a family from, plus the fact that she travels a lot and lives in many different time zones at the same time. So, Lise, the next 4 minutes are yours to talk about family matters.
Well, I just wanted to congratulate George, who spoke so boldly and confidently about his relationship and sharing that with us. After 30 years of marriage, I'm glad he stood up for family, and that's what this segment is about. Personal responsibility. I got Smalley Online is a website I go to often for insight on family relationship, and this family has really taken on helping couples and people who want to be in marriages and relationships to strengthen their family. And I often go to Gary Smalley for some insight. So there's a really quick note that he made out here on personal responsibility. And he said, what would you say is the number one cause for divorce in America? And the answer may surprise you. He said that research over the past several years has consistently listed financial issues as the number one cause of divorce. But do you want to know something amazing? Financial problems never caused even a single divorce. They may provide the topic of angry discussion, but they don't cause anything. The problem is rarely the problem. The problem is never about a list of issues. Is the problem the other person's behavior or attitude or personality? My wife is always belligerent. I want her to quit yelling at me. My husband spends too much time at work. It's never just about the other person. The problem is most of us spend all our time and energy talking about what the other person is doing or not doing. So whenever you focus your attention on what the other person is doing, you take away your own power. You make yourself weak. And focusing on the other, you try to control things you can't control. For that reason, it's an exercise in total futility, inefficiency, and ineffectiveness. When you focus on yourself rather than on the other person, you vastly increase your odds of being able to enjoy some impact and influence over the relationship problem that bothers you. And to go even deeper on this issue, I had an experience with a personal coach that I've used, and most of the people on here know who this guy is. His name is Ron Zeller. One time he coached me on some complaints that I had, and Ron came from a background of landmark education, which we've all done a lot of that work. And he basically said, look, if you have issues with your spouse, just take a piece of paper and write down your complaint about the stuff regarding that particular subject. And let's say it is money. So the problem may be there's not enough money to pay the bills, or the spouse is overspending on the family's budget, the spouse bought something without discussing with the partner. Now, on your piece of paper, after you list your complaint, write down where you are contributing to the problem. If there's not enough money, what are you doing about that? Have you sat down and made a plan? The whole thing is to get us back to happiness, because the complaining is creating misery, really. I mean, that's what your complaints are really creating in your own life. So when you take ownership of your role, you then become empowered, then watch the problem melt away. I've done it a couple of times, and I've had a whole page of complaints.
We're actually out of time.
Okay, 75% of my point complaints was that something I could eliminate that was that eliminated my misery because I took responsibility for it.
I think that was the whole crux of the conversation for me when you were speaking. Taking responsibility for our lives, what a hot dog thing to do. That's what we're all about, and we get doses of that every time in every way. Check us out at HeavenIncorporated, all spelled out, .com. And while you're there, please sign up on our listener list, and we'll send you a list of people that are going to be on the show in the coming weeks, such as Guy Finley and Adora Spencer and various people like that, and I think you'll be quite pleased. I figure if I just get one good thing from each guest, I'm stepping forward in my life. That's 52 a year, and I like that. These people are hot, and so is the diva. The diva rocks, she rolls, and she throws her boa around, and she goes, ha, ha, ha.
Yes, she does.
Thank you for making me so.
And how are we doing on time?
How are we doing on time?
Leader.
You got your whole 4 minutes.
Okay, great.
They're all yours to the pig out any way you want.
Well, this is Maureen O'Crean, and this is for DistinctivelyDiva.com, the international online community of women for women. And all you guys out there, you be listening, because you are the spark in your lady's life. Have you ever felt down about yourself? No. Well, usually when it persists, it's because we're stuck in a negative or fearful thought. By shifting your focus, you shift the energy and start to remember the marvelous woman that you are. It's physics, and it can't ever fail to help this situation. So I have 10 tips to put the spring back in your step. And we won't have time to go through all 10 today, but you just email Val at Waking Up in America, and we'll send you all 10 tips.
Oh, great. I love that.
Well, number one, be embarrassingly scandalous in your choice of lingerie. Just for you. Do you remember Mammy in Gone with the Wind? When she wore that red petticoat, she had a blush on her face and a swish in her walk. Red lingerie has its own magic. Be as glamorous as you can. Number two, create an alter ego. Even superheroes don't feel great all the time, and they have to show up when called. So do you. On those days when you get too close to the kryptonite, pull out your Superwoman outfit. Make yourself take a shower. Do your hair and nails. Dress up. You'll feel instantly better and back in your power. Number three, cover your roots. There is a hair coloring crayon at a beauty supply store that will disguise your root between trips to the salon. One good one is called Tween Time by a company named Rue. Instant hair color touch-up sticks change your life. Don't leave home without one.
I didn't know about this. I'm going to go buy one right
no
now.
No one will ever know your secret, ladies. And we are running out of time. So
you have a whole minute left.
Okay, one more. Plug your power leak. Take the phone off the hook and give yourself 20 minutes to recharge. Read a trashy novel and fantasize about what you would do as the heroine. Keep an emergency basket ready with works that inspire you or make you happy. Tapes and music are an instant hit. Even the Goldie Oldies, if it'll get your feet moving. Please visit DistinctivelyDiva.com. Sign up for our free newsletter and happy little tips like this and the Daily Diva Word. And if you would like your own copy of the 10 Emergency Tips for Feeling Better, email Val at WakingUpInAmerica.com.
And we're going to tell the webmaster to put those color sticks in the store.
That's right.
That's a really good one.
We'll have to find a wholesaler.
Oh, yes, I like it.
They're in all different colors.
I know. I think, well, you know, Lisa, I've never seen a gray hair on your head, Lisa.
Well, maybe she's one of those natural people don't gray.
You know, but maybe we could toss Kevin a stick. I think I saw one or two showing up on his head.
Yeah, they're coming. It's just
so, you guys, this has been a great program. This program has been produced by our radio partners, CloningCompany.com, Dr. James Murphy in Memoriam, Lisa Molson, who you hear in the background, Maureen O'Crean, Cherie Ross, George Bruchewski, and me, Dr. Valerie Ann Kirkgaard. We're delighted that you're here. Pete Laubach and his technical work make all this possible. VoiceAmerica.com, bless them. They put us on the global airwaves, and we've got other stations putting us on locally. God bless Maureen, our webmaster, and Ben Migan, who wrote our theme music, Almost Ordinary People. And just once again to the folks at Voice America, you guys rock. We really appreciate you. And here's my hope for you all, that you heard one thing today that you can put into action, and like Nike says, do it now.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on VoiceAmerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.